Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we are the nation's number one talk station. We are Nigeria Info, broadcasting live from Etimiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, here in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sheriff Quadri. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube right now. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the program, Morning Crossfire. It's great to know that you're there. We're streaming on Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook. That's the address, Nigeria Info 99.3. on Facebook, on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. If you are interested in how your country is being governed, or the politics of your country, this is a conversation for you, because on the 26th, 27th, Saturday, Sunday, the ruling All Progressives Congress held their national convention that has been put off severally, with some discords here and there. Now, what happened at the convention ground is another story entirely, but let you know that they now have finally a national chairman alongside other 76 public officers that they have elected. You're welcome to the conversation. We want to look at what happened on the ground of the convention. We want to look at how things panned out. Maybe that would herald a new chapter in the history of APC, or perhaps they're going back even worse than where they left off before the convention, because of some of the things that transpired on the ground. So feel free to join our conversation right now as you're watching. Let us know your own opinion, your own thoughts about the convention that happened over the weekend. When PDP, if they do their own, will come here and we'll review it as well. Bola Olajide is a public affairs commentator. He joins me right now. Bola, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff, and good morning to our listeners.
Bola, you stayed up. You saw the convention. In fact, you even spoke publicly about the convention. Yes. What's your general thought about it?
Come say. I think there's a good part to it. That is the fact that it held. Now, 2 weeks ago, there were issues that came up that we thought, oh, it appears as if this March 26 will not happen again. The Buni committee was right. The trialist act and all of that. And I remember when the guy that the Niger State governor had written a letter to INEC to say, let me notify you that we are going ahead with this convention. INEC told him that we don't know you. And that was a very strong message to the party that, look, we are treading on the line of illegality. If we don't rein ourselves in and do the right thing, we're going to be in trouble. So the president stepped in, stabilized that space. Boni was brought back and it was emphatic that March 26 must happen. And March 26 indeed happened. That is the good part.
Right.
Well, another good part is the fact that the consensus happened. You know. But okay. The bad part might emerge from the consensus.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. The consensus normally should not lead to troubles, because consensus is you call the stakeholders together, the contestant, and you say, look, instead of going out there to go and start doing this big voting, can we agree that one of us, let's say we are six, like Mr. Adojon Sule, will be the candidate, and all the other people who signed that they have agreed. So it's a meeting of mind when you look at it. And as much as people might say, oh, it's not democratic, it is actually, when you look at it closely, it is democratic and it is legal. You know, where the problem comes in is if the party structure has the capacity to coerce, and rather than the consensus be a consensus, a meeting of minds, it became a coercion in certain instances.
I've heard that people were forced to drop the aspiration.
Yes. You know, at the point,
people were blackmailed into dropping the aspiration.
I saw
by your own party.
I saw a video online where a particular gentleman hugged one of the contestants and whispered something and said something in his ears. And apparently what he told that guy was a bit of dirt that was pulled from the guy's
past.
You know. And with that, the guy you know, surrendered the mandate.
He was blackmailed.
Literally, it was blackmail. So, which could mean he may not be the only guy that was in that shoe. Only right. just that was the only one that was on social media that I saw. So, I'm asking myself, if there are others that were literally blackmailed into that position, how do they feel right now? The capacity of the party to heal the wounds of people who might be in those shoes.
Well, he came out later to say that, you know, parties, this thing is
party supremacy,
all of that. He had to give way for that party's position can have the
we did, but
say.
We saw his emotions also on the ground. He was literally crying, if you ask me. So apparently, that is the right thing to still say as a party person.
Right.
I'm doing this all for party. But having said that publicly does not replace the role of the party to now call the aggrieved people, whether you are black male or you are not black male, and discuss. Usually in consensus, there are some horse trading. I hands off my ambition. And there are certain things that you might also give me in return. For example, they say, we will return your form to you. But when you look at it, the form money is not the real thing, because anybody who is contesting, you know that it is either left or right. In your mind, you are ready to lose the money anyway.
The aspiration comes first, not the money.
It comes first, not the money. So what are those other give and take? What are the other commitments? Where else can you make these guys feel? How else can you make them feel? It is how the new executive is able to handle that that will determine the success, the effectiveness of the consensus that we have seen.
Well, now it's being said that look, if you're a politician, you know that there is no permanent friend, there is no permanent enemy, and everybody's interest comes first. I mean, your personal interest comes first before anything. You can come out and say party is supreme and everything, but then we know that your interest comes first. And looking at the permutation and the rest of them, people have been saying that everything that happened on Saturday was gets towards skimming some people out when they eventually go for primaries and the rest of them.
Well, of course, politicians they think ahead. And if for whatever reason, I believe a particular chairman will be able to further my own agenda or the agenda of a group. There are always multiple groups in this party.
Yeah.
So we would definitely push for the person who will further my agenda. That is how it works.
My point is, is this going to lead to the disintegration of the APC in the end?
Not necessarily. It is how this executive is able to manage the process that will determine whether this will lead to disintegration or not. And so far, because somehow the president who has this standoffish disposition has decided to be active in the process, which means that he's interested in who succeeds him. Otherwise, he could have said, after all, my name is not on the ballot. You know,
you can go and do whatever you want to do.
Go and run it. If you can't run it, I'm back to my Daura farm. Come next year. You know, but the fact that he has been very consistent in showing, even when he was on the health, in London, he was still actively participating in what was going on. And we saw him sit in that place on the convention
for
several hours, give a speech.
That's right.
Apparently, he's 100% committed to what is going on there. So, it is what it is. Over these next few weeks is when we'll begin to see how successful the consensus indeed was. Because people are aggrieved. If they are not managed, they will start to talk.
I am hearing that the APC could be looking at picking a consensus as a presidential ticket. Do you think that is, as a presidential candidate, do you think that is why we have? The president said that we must be ready to go the way of consensus before the convention.
It would be more difficult. They can get away with it using,
For the convention, for their party officials.
Yes. But for the primaries, it will be much more difficult because the stakes are much higher. We're talking of that candidate that the party believes will be able to sustain what they have right now. They want to retain the presidency. So the stakes are very high, as we can see, the caliber of the candidate that I've declared, and some others that are, you know, warming up to declare. Now, this is much more delicate.
But they've demonstrated that consensus is possible with this just concluded convention. Yes. I mean, well, they were calling out aspirants on stage,
yes,
to discuss among themselves, to just discuss and give them one name right there on convention ground. They meant it that it must be consensus, and they got what they desired because the president willed it that way.
Correct.
He wanted it that way. What if he wants their presidential ticket to be zoned according to consensus?
He wanted it that way. But before the day of convention, he has already won the heart of other critical stakeholders who could be a problem in that pathway. He has had several meetings with the governors forum.
That's right.
And he had got them to align. Just 2 weeks ago, we saw the issue of Yahoo governors on one side and the other ones who believe they are not the Yahoo, whatever. But somehow all of them were there at the convention because they had meetings with them and brought them aboard what he wanted to do. Will he be able to do that in the case of the primaries? I very much doubt, because the stakes are much higher. Some of the governors themselves are contesting for the primaries.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so right. It may not be as easy.
Well, you know that this thing is about horse trading. I mean, they strike deals. It will give you VP. We'll just let the president. Everything they were saying yesterday was that the president's candidate is Malamadamu, and he got in. The other ones were just consensus based on, you know, trades here and there from geopolitical zones. But this one, if the president wants it, who do you think can say no in that party?
I think the governor's forum can give him
a run
for his money, yes. They can do that. They are strong enough to do that, and they are the chief party financiers. Don't forget that as well. You know. And some of them are actually already loaded for what is ahead. We know that those primaries, those delegates, you know, they were also ready to vote at the convention anyway. The delegates were there.
That's right.
The polling booths were already set up and all that stuff. So that in case there are situations in which consensus did not happen, then they can resort to voting. In the case of the primaries, I wonder where that negotiation skills will come from that will make consensus candidate a possibility. Because of the stakes,
you think it's almost impossible to have consensus.
I think it's near impossible to have consensus. It's very, very impossible. And I heard that some are already kicking. There's a Tinubu group that has already kicked.
That's right.
That. And if you look at that, that is a strong group, and they are not echoing their own mind. They are echoing the mind of the contestant.
What does that tell you, Bolao, of the possibility of a consensus move? If a group that supports Bola Tinubu has already, the president has not said anything, though.
Yeah, he has not said anything.
We've not heard anything, though. But they are already saying that the plan is to put Jonathan Ford, which we'll come to in a moment. But what does that tell you about that rumor that it could be consensus for the primary, presidential ticket primary?
They may want to try a consensus. That is legal. Like we have seen them do, and do it more successfully, at least on the face of it, successfully for now. But I will go back to the stakes. You have a Tinubu who on the scene today is probably the most visible contestant who has been consulting north to south to everywhere, all over the place. To now say, okay, we're doing a consensus and you won't be that candidate, no. And don't forget, he's also a party founder. And there's a name they call national leader of the party. So those are critical stakeholders. And how they feel about it matters. Then you now have the governors. You have some of them who are also contesting. Well, they've not declared interest. So Fireman's of this world.
Right.
El-Rufai seems to be interested as well. Some are mentioning Zulum. So there are governors who are interested in this. Now, if you now do consensus, you cannot afford to lose those governors. They deliver the states. They deliver the states.
But you know that majority of the governors, let me not say majority, but at least some of the governors are from the northern part. And we know how loyal northern politicians can be. So what if the northern politicians who intend to run in 2023 say, okay, we're loyal to Baba, so we're giving to the consensus. What does APC, what have they got to lose if they decide to skim Tinubu, Fayemi, and all the southern aspirants after the entire equation in 2023? What have they got to lose?
They got to lose a lot. They have a lot to lose if they do that. Because what will happen is that you now have a whole lot of disgruntled. The party will go back to its element. It was a conglomerate, or you know, we put together several bits and pieces right. to make what that party is. So if you approach it in that manner, there's a possibility that the party will go back to its default setting, in which those groups that make up the party will start to pull out, feeling disenfranchised or feeling cheated, and that will not go well. For the election that
for the party,
it will not.
All right. Let's take some calls, then we'll go to break. When we return, we'll look at the chances of APC putting forward Jonathan as a presidential standard bearer. whether it'll be a good move for them or not.
Interesting.
0700-993-993-993. Please make it short. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Yeah, Sheriff Baba. I greet you.
I salute you.
Oga Bolaho.
Ah, hello.
My name is Uche.
Hey, Uche, Papa Ikeja.
I'm in Ikeja at the moment. Now, Oga Bolaho, I've listened to your analysis, you know, quite interesting as always. But there's one area that I was expecting you to make comment on. Perhaps our Oga in the studio didn't ask you about that. This man that has come up now as the chairman of the party, I know you will say, let's forget about his age. Fine. But what about the so-called investigation hanging around him by the EFCC, which I would like to believe that the president is aware of, but yet put all those things aside, jettison that fact, and still push that man. Even though Ogashare said he wasn't appointed, but he was his chosen candidate, and he engineered his emergence. What do we have to say about that? What can we say about that? If a man who is going to lead a political party already has credibility issues from the word go, what does that tell you about our polity? It's sad. I want you to comment on that, please.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you.
Okay. A man is being investigated. And you know the way the law works. Until he's found guilty, then he's not guilty. That is on one side. On the other side is that the way we do our things in Nigeria, those cloud of uncertainty about whether he will be found guilty or not, we have not found it to matter. Most of the people who are there, whether on the PDP or the APC side of things, are one case or the other, all over the place. So it means that we need to be able to step up our politics to that level where people who have issues, we will start to, you know, isolate them pending when their issues are clear.
Well, let's go to break. When we return, we'll talk some more. Stay here, Lagos. We'll be back.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Gwalam Olajide is here, and we are taking a look at the just concluded APC convention that held on Saturday into Sunday. Let's get talking. Feel free to join our conversation this morning where we're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. You can get our feed there. Nigeria Info 99.3. If you're on Instagram, please feel free to do that. Now, before we get back to that conversation, let me quickly say it's time to go and hunt for the treasure on our mobile app. That means you have to have the mobile app before you can get into this, okay? You can win 5,000 Naira today on Nigeria Info's Morning Crossfire. If you can find a photo of Nigeria's coat of arms, first, you must get it first. So when you see this photo, click on it. There will be a pop-up where you can put your details and everything. Now, you have to do that very quickly. Your first person to submit is the one that will win the money. If you don't have good internet, go and get good internet too. I don't want to hear. I sent it first too. It was hanging. And now restarted my phone. No. Best of luck to you guys. We'll announce the winner before the end of the show. Balan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before I get back to telephone, I said I was going to ask you about the possibility, the chances of APC at presidency if they put President Jonathan Ford as a candidate in 2023, because of the report that came out, the report that I can't independently verify, but it came out in the papers that President Jonathan was giving conditions for him to join the APC.
The Jonathan matter has been on the table for a while. There's been rumors there and there about him crossing over. There was only a time that he took up a role of mediating in the sub-region that people are like, are you now a minister? So most likely when you hear those kind of things, being consistent in the political space, it is true. I want to believe that overtures are being made both ways. But you see, if you're bringing in a Jonathan to that party who has been a former president, then if he's going to take any other political position, it can't be less than the president again.
That's right.
And he still has a right, to a 4 years. So it's a possibility that they are making overtures to him.
Why do you think that calculation is coming in? What's the calculation, really? Is there a calculation?
There might be a calculation. There might be a calculation that they can use him as that southern candidate. There is a strong belief that Jonathan had a widespread appeal, you know, and that his administration enjoyed a better season, so to say. You know, don't forget the 2014 and the boom and all the rest. And so people are still sentimentally attached to that. But in my opinion, it might be a miscalculation if that is what APC is looking at. Don't forget, if Jonathan's performance has been exciting, maybe there would not have been a Buhari in the first instance. As at the point where 2015 happened, a lot of people were tired of the Jonathan administration, and they wanted a change.
They were desperate for a change.
They were desperate for a change. And that became a mantra for this government then. Say, look, we are bringing that change that you want. So to bring that person back is going to be challenging. Are we saying there are no other candidates that they can put in that space? If you even win a Jonathan back, let him be just a father figure in the party and someone who has an influence in the South-South, for example. And when you're talking about South-South, for which there is no single APC footstep in that entire
South-South region.
You know, even the Edo that they used to have, Edo is no longer, it's gone. So it will be a step to use to, you know, stamp their feet in the South-South as well. But not as... I don't think they stand a chance as president. For example, you pitch him against an article. And I think an article will beat him.
Interesting. Let's go back to telephone. Then we'll come to the article that you just mentioned now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please. Good morning.
Bola, where have you been?
Mr. Chris, quickly, please.
Okay, quick one. For me... Jonathan is the biggest mistake if you go and join these people. Nobody, with his right senses, with all we went through APC, and somebody want to recommend APC back again in this country, I wish them good luck. Thank you.
Thank you too. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning. I can't hear you, I'm sorry. I need to move on to other calls. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sharif.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah, this Friday from Gwelere.
You're welcome, Friday.
See, Jonathan issue is Jonathan calculation, Sheriff. It's a Northern calculation.
Okay.
They are doing their mathematics well. And if the Southerner, if we fall to it, we are in for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that Jonathan just have 4 years to rule.
Okay.
Then after 4 years, then the power will be shifted to them again.
Mm-hmm.
So they are doing their calculation well. It's a Northern calculation. These Northern politicians, they are wiser than the Southern. They are doing their calculation well.
Mm-hmm.
And if it work out, good for them, good
Thank
for
you.
Jonathan. But if Jonathan contests against Atiku, I don't see Jonathan defeating Atiku.
Thank you for calling. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. We lost that call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, this is Joe.
You're welcome.
Now, Jonathan coming back, I think if he really comes back, it's not going to be business as usual.
Okay.
Let's say that fact.
Okay.
He must be wiser than he was.
Mm.
There must be a lot of forces behind him telling him this is how it's going to be.
Right. Do you think it'll be a good idea, though, for the APC?
It's a very bad idea for them. It'll be a very bad idea.
Oh, okay.
And again, the election is not about party this time.
Mm.
I said before, it's not going to be about party. It's going to be about who's going to be there, where it comes from.
Okay.
Let's face the fact. If Atiku goes in there, that is a continuation of Buhari administration. Take it or leave it. As a full animal, it is. Take it or leave it.
Where is the Southeast?
All right. Thank you. Thank you for
that calculation.
Right?
There has to be a Southeast.
Let's cuckoo just go there now. So you have many people who've indicated their interest in the main opposition party, the PDP.
Correct.
Well, this morning I brought out just three of them. Atiku, Peter Obi, and Yesombike. Who do you think, if PDP were to stand a chance, who do you think would give them the best shot at presidency in 2023?
Traditionally, the way we run things in this country, it would be Atiku. But what I've been agitating my mind is, where in the old political equation, how are we going to plug in the agitation of the Southeast? Which could mean that for a PDP, if for whatever reason they decide to choose Atiku because they believe that is the person that could win the presidency, they must be ready for a Southeast vice presidency, at least in at the barest minimum. You know, because we can't continue to ignore that agitation, at least at this level of our democratic evolution. Over time, it is not the way to go. Because I don't know when it will go around the 250 ethnic groups that are in Nigeria, unless you're saying only Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa are the people in Nigeria, you know. So, for now, when we need, the country is divided and all of that, we need to think in terms of where would the Southeast be. But as to who can deliver it for them, I would think Atiku stands a better chance to deliver the presidency than Peter Obi.
If we're bringing somebody like Pius Ayim, and Bukola Saraki.
Pius and Bukola Saraki. I think that calculation might even favor them more than the Obi Atiku one, because in the Obi Atiku one, it is more clear that Atiku would do that. But Pius, I'm not so sure of how much Pius has been in the political space since he left as the secretary to the governor of the Federation.
Right.
What is he doing underneath since he declared? What are his engagement and consultations around the country, especially in
has
the
he been
north.
Active? Has he been active? Consulting?
Or is he just that he want to latch on to the zoning thing? They should consider the Southeast.
Right.
If they're just latching on to the Southeast zoning thing, Bukola might even be a better deal for PDP.
Let's talk about others outside of PDP and APC. Who do you think could possibly put up a good fight in 2023? At least from those that we know that have indicated their interest. Not those
what
that have
Moalu?
Not. Moalu, I think YPP, I'm not really sure. Or okay. ADC, I'm not really sure.
Okay, but at least it's not in the two.
No, he's not.
I think he's a good guy. It's not tested politically, though. And this country, being a technocrat alone is not enough. You must understand that political space and how the political wars, trading and engagement takes place. Otherwise, the National Assembly alone can sit there and ensure that you will not perform. So that capacity for the politics side of things is also very important. Now, it doesn't mean that someone has to have been a politician to have those skills. You don't have to be, because it's a skill that involves being able to engage with the other party and reach certain compromises on issues.
Right.
So of the people that are outside of the two big parties, I think Kingsley Moalu stands out as one of those people who we can look at outside of the two parties.
Let me see Peter, if Peter is still on the line. Peter, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for holding the line. Thank you so much.
Jerry, if you like, drop the money. I know sense.
No vex, nah. No vex.
No vex. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, my brother.
My name is Peter. I just want to comment on Jonathan trying to... If he does that, he's making a very big, terrible mistake. Because, my brother, anybody will not like your papa, your mama. Now, if you can't like the son... Forget about all these intrigues of, he's going there for 4 years. After 4 years, they will take it back. It doesn't work. It cannot. I'm from South. And I don't want him to go there. Let us remain in the wilderness. We cannot go back to Egypt. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much. What a way to put it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Jerry.
Yes, please. Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, my name is Ndubis Choko.
You're welcome.
Yeah. See, talking about Jonathan going to APC. Believe me, Mr. Sheriff, if you were Jonathan, you will do it 10 times. You know why?
Why?
To make sure that Tinubu did not smell the seat of power in this country.
That's just why.
What's the reason?
I'm telling you. Because he was the brand behind it.
This is an infomercial.
That to take his revenge at Tinubu, he will do it. And if you were him, you will do it the same way.
Okay.
So for people to say that if you go back to there, it's a foolish person. Yes, let him be foolish. But in order, because it was him. Now Tinubu want to rule this country. After he have, and for him to even come to rule the country, he have destroyed the country by giving the power to this man that is in power now. So there is no way he will not come back if he was beckoned to do so. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you too. And just to be very straight, he didn't give power to anybody.
We voted.
There was an election. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Gwanamuk, we must go now. Okay. We really have to go. But before we go, let me put this to you once again because I want us to. Do I have the time? Well, no, I don't have the time.
You have the time. Oh, okay. Good to have been here.
We have to do this again. Thank you so much, Wolan, for coming.
The pleasure is mine.
I really do appreciate it.
Have a wonderful day.
Lagos, that's our show this morning. Thank you for being a part of it. We're still continuing with our conversations on Nigeria Info. 9 o'clock, it'll be time to join Wemimo Adewuni on Table Talk, after which, of course, the Takers will be in here for What's Up Lagos. I'm Sheriff Quatri. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.